Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. We are halfway through our series called The Upside Down, and we're in part three today. And if you've been gone or, you know, been on vacation, I'm going to catch you up real quick, all right? Because we've been talking about The Upside Down, which has to do with the Netflix show Stranger Things. It's a long story. We're past it. But the point is that when Jesus started his ministry about the age of 30, he was baptized by his cousin John. John the Baptist baptized him. He went into the wilderness. He was tempted by Satan, and then he started his deal. And he started with his most famous sermon, his most famous speech, Sermon on the Mount. Explained the Beatitudes. And from there, right there, he started to describe to us the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God, this is what it looks like. And the citizens of the kingdom of God, the people who call themselves what would be known later on as Christians, this is what it looks like to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. These are some of their characteristics. These are some of their attributes. This is what they get excited about. This is the emotions that they go through, the process in which they go through. And so he started to describe this, and it became known as the Beatitudes. But what you'll notice if you read that is it doesn't seem like things that we would actually want in our life. The kingdom of God looks very backwards or upside down to the way we think the world works, to what we would express as happy emotions, what we would be excited about. And so he starts to go through all of these different Beatitudes and describe the kingdom of God. And we're going to catch you up a little bit. This is kind of where we've been. We talked about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So poor in spirit, not something you'd like to be, right? Not something that you'd like to go through in any way, shape, or form. But he says, blessed are those poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? Because they're going to be comforted. Again, we don't look forward to mourning. We don't like to be sad. We don't like to be poor in spirit. We don't like to be heartbroken. But yet, citizens of the kingdom of God, they're blessed. And we talked about what that word means. That blessed word in the Greek actually means happy or fortunate. So happy are people who mourn. Happy are people in poor in spirit. Why? Because they like it? No. But because God, in the midst of this bad experience, God is about to be good in this experience. He is about to show us how good he is. And so we talked about last week, blessed are the meek. We talked about Bo, meek man, right? Which he loves being a part of my sermons, right? Last night when the magician was like, who's the best guy to razz in the crowd? I said, Bo, go after Bo. And so in the very front of the show, he acted like he stole his wallet. And Bo is so perfect, he actually checked to see if his wallet had been stolen. Very good. But blessed are the meek. What did we talk about? We talked about meek means gentleness of strength. And all the men in the room, you guys have practiced that this week, right? Gentleness has been your strength, like Bo, meek man. And they will inherit the earth. So it's an important thing to be meek. We don't look as meekness as a strength, but it is. The meek will inherit the earth. And now here we are in this beatitude. Blessed, happy, fortunate are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, nobody likes to be hungry, right? Hunger, if we broke these words down, let's look at what these words kind of mean. Hunger, to crave, to be needy for. Thirst, needing to be refreshed. And that word righteousness, a lot of us hear that word all the time. What is righteousness? Righteousness, if we looked at the translation of it, righteousness means I'm who God wants me to be. So blessed, happy, fortunate are those who are hungry, who are in need, who are craving, who are thirsty, who need to be refreshed, who are just parched. And what are they hungry for? What are they thirsty for? Righteousness. I'm hungry for who God wants me to be. I'm thirsty. I'm so parched in my life, and I need to be refreshed so bad. And what's the answer for it? To be who God wants me to be. But man, nobody likes to be hungry, do we? Have you ever been so hungry that you started to snap? at people just a little bit, you know? Like you get a little hungry, stop nudging your spouse, okay? Or the person you came with. But it, my wife, and let me say this first, because some of them watch on Facebook right now. I love my in-laws. I love their whole family. They are terrific. Okay, that's been said. Now I'm going to complain about them. The first holidays that I spent with the Winter Clan, you know, let's say Thanksgiving. Okay, when are we going to eat? Because I don't know about you guys. I have an internal clock, okay? I go to bed the same time every night. I wake up the same time every night. I have to eat every 3 to 4 hours, okay? If this doesn't consume protein and carbs, I'm going to snap, okay? So, like, I get hungry. And so, Thanksgiving, when are we going to eat? We're getting together at noon. Terrific. So, in my head, what does that mean when we say we're getting together for Thanksgiving at noon? It means we're going to eat at 12:30, right? It means the food's made. We're done. I get there. I eat. We pray. In whatever order, I just need to eat, okay? That's what needs to happen. No, not in the winter house, okay? In the winter house, if we say we're going to eat at noon, it means we might get there by 1 o'clock. And then we start making the food, which means we're going to eat Thanksgiving lunch at like 3-ish, maybe something. They have no concept of time. Nobody cares. Everybody walks in like jolly little, you know, cartoon characters. And they're like, you know, the important thing is that we're together, you know. And I immediately was, you know, my wife says, it's not how I say, it's how I look. Does anybody have a face? I mean, as much as I keep my mouth shut, like Kate would be like, what's your problem? And I'm like, I haven't said a single thing. She's like, I know, but your face says it all. And you're sitting over there like a crazy stalker, you know, looking like you're going to hurt somebody. And I said, Kate, it's 3 o'clock and I haven't eaten anything. And you know what they always tell me? This is their saving grace. This is what they think gets them a mulligan. Jamie brought a vegetable tray. Aunt Jamie brought a vegetable tray. Well, great. I'll be at the bar nibbling on carrots and ranch dressing. And yeah, that'll make me survive like a psychopath over here trying to make celery. You know what's in celery? Nothing. Water's in celery. Celery is not a snack. Celery is not an appetizer. Celery is something you eat after wings because you went too spicy. That's what celery's for. Don't tell me to eat celery. I need to eat turkey. I need protein now, right? But that's what they do. And it drives me nuts. Now, some of you are judging me right now, and you think, as a pastor, you have an attitude problem. But actually, science says I'm okay. There's a scientific word for my condition. My condition, it's called hangry. And I'm not kidding you. There have been studies done, and this is a scientific word. Like, I wrote this in my sermon expecting, you know, the little, like, speak and spell guy to pop up saying, you misspelled a word. And he didn't. He said, you're correct. That's a word. There's actually been a study. This guy that I found, he did a study at a school. Let's see, Philip Watts, a scientist, studied hunger and published a paper called The Science of Hunger and What Makes Us Hangry. And he says this, when we are hungry, our brains are essentially starved of glucose, meaning that our ability to control our emotions is reduced and our ability to concentrate is diminished. I have a condition, not a problem of the heart. It is not sinful. It's something that they have done to me, okay? Hangry's a thing. I'm the victim. That's clearly obvious. But nobody likes to be hangry. Nobody likes to be hungry. Nobody likes to go through that. It's a huge, huge problem, right? When we go through that, I mean, we're craving. I mean, when you're hungry, man, you scour the food. Like, I went home last night. I hadn't eaten dinner after the VMAs, and I was just, man, I was going through the fridge trying to find something. You know, I was so hungry. Have you ever been on a road trip, right? And you're like, when are we going to stop to eat? And you're like, I don't know. We're just going to go as far as we come. But when it hits, right? And you're like, where's the exit? You know, and you get off in the exit and you're like, I'll look left, you look right. And you're just trying to find something. You're like, Taco Bell, how bad is it? Like, do I want to stop in another hour to go to the bathroom? Or can we maybe find an Arby's? Because I can survive off an Arby's, you know? But when it hits, man, it hits. And we crave so bad. And we scour and we search and we got to find something. We got to put something in us, right? Here's the thing. That's how Jesus wants us to be in our relationship with him. Jesus wants us to hunger. God wants us to crave. He wants us to have to get to this point where we are so desperate that we scour, that we search for him, for who he wants us to be, for righteousness. He wants us to have this hunger inside of us that just goes, I need God so badly right now. I need to know who he wants me to be. I need to know his will for my life. I need to know what my purpose is in this world. I want to know his plans so badly. I'm searching and I'm praying and I'm worshiping and I'm here because I want him so bad. How many of you honestly, don't answer out loud, walked in here hungry for God? Walked in here hungry for who he wants you to be, hungry for righteousness, thirsty for righteousness. Here's the thing. When we have that, when we are hungry, when we are thirsty for righteousness, he makes us a promise. He makes us a promise in that verse in Matthew 5, 6. He says, blessed are those who are hungry, who are thirst for righteousness. And what will happen? They will be filled. The actual translation of that filled is satisfied or whole. How many of us, we all know this, right? It's a universal problem. How many of us right now are not whole? How many of us feel a little bit empty? We feel blessed. We feel good. We're happy. But it kind of comes and goes, right? It's like there is that hole, and every day you have to fill it, and you've got to put something in it, and then you wake up the next day, and you filled it to here, but it's fallen, and it's sunk, and you've got to grab something, and you fill it, and you think, well, maybe I'm not filling it with the right thing, and so we grab something else. We grab a relationship. We start dating somebody new, or we think, maybe I just need to get married, or maybe the problem is we don't have kids, or maybe I need a new job. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe then I'll be a little bit more filled, and we keep filling the hole, but every day it just keeps sinking a little bit more. I go, what is this? Is this a midlife crisis? Is this my age? Is this the people I've surrounded myself? What is it? What it is because in the world, the way it was designed and created to be, is there's only one person who can fill that hole. There's only one person who was ever created and designed us to be filled with, and that's God. And those things we fill our life with, they're not bad. They're blessings. They're good. But they were never meant to complete the job. It was always meant to be God. So we could take Jesus' words and we could Dr. Seuss it. When my will is your intent, you will find yourself content. This is what was designed to fill us. This is what was designed to make us content. It's his will. And when his will is our intent, when his will is our mission, our goal, what we're truly after in our life, that is the only way to contentment. That's the only way to discover it. And it's this lifelong pursuit that God intended for us to have to bring this satisfaction into our life. And that's the journey that makes life better and makes us better at life. None of us are there. All of us will search it. It takes a lifetime until Jesus comes and completes the job. We'll always be there, but we can always get better at it. We can always find just a little bit more. And that's the good news to our universal problem, is that God is reaching out for us. God is trying to show us his will, show us his plans, show us our purpose in this world, so that we can be more connected to him, so that we can return to the Eden that we were designed for, be the Adam and Eve he wanted us to be. But you know, the tricky thing is that there's so much around us to quench our thirst with, right? There's so many great things that we've created that we've tried to refresh ourselves with. I asked you guys a question on Facebook this week. I came to a couple guys last week, and I said, what's your favorite refreshment? So you guys started writing drinks. I'm so glad nobody put alcohol, because I would have had to gone and buy a beer this morning, and that would have been really weird with my Anchored Hope shirt on. So I went and grabbed some refreshments. I really did think it was going to happen. But anyway, so I went and grabbed a couple refreshments. Got a couple things here. So I didn't get everybody's, all right? But here, I got a lemon lime Gatorade. Wasn't that what Rhonda wanted? Where's Rhonda? Oh, she left. Great. Well, that sermon illustration went great. Thanks, Rhonda. Mother crawl. Here, I got some sweet teas. Anybody want a sweet tea? Anybody want a sweet tea? There you go. Oh, what? You're ruining everything about this sermon's illustration, meek man. Do you want a sweet tea? You do. I will not throw it at you, ma'am. I really appreciate you. By the way, have you seen our online giving? It's available. Okay. Kayla, my dear. Come on, girl. You already got one. All right. Well, you have a drinking problem, so here you go. You can have two. It's not a big deal. Good catch. Holy moly. Woo. I got a Diet Mountain Dew. Anybody want a Diet Mountain Dew? Anyone want a Diet Mountain Camden? Or Keegan? Whichever dillo you are. I don't know. I can't keep track of it. You're all tall and beautiful, whatever. Anybody want to, let's see what else I got here. Anybody, that's Aldi, that's not soda. Wait, who grabbed that? I got a Diet Coke, I got an orange soda. Anybody want anything like that? Anyone want orange soda? Okay, that's shaking now, okay? So, okay, great, awesome. You know, here's the thing, all right? I'm not going to drink any of that. That's trash. Here's the thing about that though, all right? Go ahead, open it up. Take a drink. Take a drink. Bo, I want to see you take a drink. Take a drink. Take a drink. Oh, listen to that sound, right? Ooh. Oh, take a drink. Right? It's good. Oh, did they childproof your sweet tea? Your wife has to open it for you. They did. They childproof your sweet tea. Son of a nutcracker. Gosh. You take that first drink, right? Bo, take a drink for the love of Pete. Take a drink. Put it in your mouth now. Don't spit it out on my chairs. If you stain my chairs, I so help me. You take that first drink, right? You take that first drink, and it's so good, right? Like, have you ever been hot, and you take that first drink, and you're like, oh, right? And you take that second drink, and it starts to get a little bit better. And you take that third drink, and you're good, right? But what happens eventually, right? It runs out, right? That's why I gave Kayla two Dr. Peppers, or two Diet Cokes. Like, I knew that she needs, it's a two-time week, right? But that's the thing, like, you know, you drink a can, and then you're like, man, a can ain't gonna do it. So you go get a bottle. And then some of you guys, man, you get the fountain drink now. Like, you get the QT 64-ounce Brad Lindsay, right? Like, like, you walk in with your own gallon, and you're like, I don't need a cup. Saving 30 cents, brought my own, don't worry about me, you know, and you get that soda, right, and you're like, man, you got the fountain, that's what they call it, the fountain, because it never runs dry, right, that syrup just keeps on going, Chuck in the back just keeps on installing the CO2, and you just keep downing it, right, because it's never enough, and you know, that's the thing, you know, there are so many things in our life where that happens. So many things that are good, the first, the second, the third, but it always seems to run out. Never seems to be quite enough to quench our thirst. And here's what we have to understand. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness. We have a lot of blessings in our lives. We have a lot of great blessings. Family, jobs, careers, money, experiences, trips. Some of you guys have great things to be thankful for that you got to go through, you got to do this summer. All of that stuff is awesome. But those were never the things that were meant to fill you. Those were never the things that were meant to quench your thirst. Jesus preaches this message to everybody. And what's so interesting is that they still didn't quite understand it. And so what happens a little bit later on is there's another little scenario, another little situation, right? Where Jesus comes and you know, he just wants to start preaching, but everybody's got things they want as normal, right? And so the disciples come and they go, hey, everybody just love to hear you preach, but everybody's hungry. Okay, so they're not going to listen to you until they've had some donuts. And so what are you going to do about that? And so he's like, find me some food. So they go, they find a little, you know, boy's lunch. They got loaves and fishes, not enough to feed everybody. But what does Jesus do? He starts splitting it up. And all of a sudden, it's like, a miracle. All of a sudden, there's baskets full of fish and bread and everything. You guys have heard this story probably, right? And so the loaves and the fishes, we don't all know that, right? And so he feeds all these thousands of people. There's even leftovers. It's great, all right? So you guys know that part of the story. Well, here's what happens afterwards. What happens afterwards is much more important and much more interesting. It's because what happens is everybody goes, hey, Jesus, just a minute. And Jesus actually has to run. Jesus has to get on a boat. Jesus goes across the shore. He runs from them. They find him later on. And they go, hey, Jesus, wow, what a trick. That was cool. We're still hungry. It seems like this is a free marketplace. Could you do that again? We would love to get some more bread. We would love to get some more fish. Could you feed us? Because we are still hungry. And then Jesus gets down to the nitty gritty. And Jesus goes, you know what? I tell you what, I could do that. I could give you that blessing and I could perform that miracle and I could give you some more, you know, bread. But how would you like to have a bread that always leaves you filled? How would you like to have the last bread you would ever need? How would you like to have a bread that would satisfy you? I call it the bread of life. And they go, Jesus, we would love that bread. Give us that bread. That's what they say in that translation. Give us that bread. And then this is what Jesus says to them. Jesus says next, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me will be I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them at the last day. But for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in me shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. You know what? In that moment, as those people find Jesus and as they come up to him, you can't really kind of tell unless you know how to read between the lines, but Jesus is actually upset in this. Like how I read it doesn't really give it justice because Jesus is a little upset. Because as they come and find them, they go, oh, Jesus, a minute of your time. I think the human side of him was a bit excited. And he went, oh, great, they're back, you know? Kind of like, you know, when you visitors come for the second week, you know, like, oh, great, they came back. It means they like us. You know what I mean? I bet they want me. You know, I bet this Jesus was thinking that. I bet they want me. I bet they believe in me. But I think the God side of him fully knew the whole time. They're not here because they want me. They're here because of what I can give them. And that kind of disappointed him. And if you go back, let's go back to that slide, the first part of that verse. He says, but as I have told you, you have seen me and still you did not believe. So they still weren't really followers of Jesus. They were just fans of Jesus. And he says, here's the thing, guys. I'm the bread of life. And I want to give you something that will fill you, that will satisfy you, that will quench your thirst, that will refresh you in a way like nothing else on this earth can refresh you. And you are here simply to tell me what you want from me. You are here for the things and the blessings I can give you, not to let me bless you truly. And you know, all of us kind of have to take a stop and truly ask ourselves if we're ever that crowd. Because how many of us come to church not hungry for God, not thirsty for God, but because we want something? No judgments, it's okay. We all do it at first. But how many of you came here for the first time because we had something that you liked? Something that attracted you a little bit. It's okay. We know it. How many of us, when we pray, we go, okay, Jesus, here's my list. This is what I want from you. This is what I need you to do. This is what I need you to give me. I'd like it as soon as possible. Amen. How many of us worship based on if we like the worship or not? I don't like that one song. I like the other song, but I don't like that one song. Or, you know, it's just not my fault. Here's the thing. Here's my point. I think sometimes we come to Jesus and he goes, are you just here for what I could give you? Are you just here for a fix? Are you just here for a blessing? Are you just praying to me because you're in need? Because it seems like when your life is going so well, it just seems like you don't need me. It seems like you come to me when you need something. It seems like you come to me when you're hungry. It seems like you come to me when you're thirsty. And it's kind of up and down. It's kind of like a roller coaster. And I get it. That's life. That's how I designed it to be, because I'm the thing that's supposed to fill you up. And I think God, deep down in his heart, in that moment, he goes, you know what? I have come for every single one of you. I will never drive anyone away. I will never push anyone away. My mission is that I do not miss a single soul. I am after every single lost and broken person, and each of you is equally important to me. But I'm telling you, you're killing me, because you just don't get that I am not here to make your life a little bit better with blessings. I am here to make you the blessing. I am here to fill you up. But you've got a hunger and you've got a thirst for the right things, not just for blessings, not for just tricks and trinkets, not just for other people. Those things are great. Those are blessings, but I want to make you into the blessing. I want to make you into the full, mature person in Christ that I know you were created to be. That's what I want to do in your life. But what are you really hungry and what are you really thirsty for? We all need to ask ourselves some very hard questions. And first question is this, for the ride home. For the ride home, I want you to honestly think about these questions. Discuss them with somebody. Are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Seriously. Based on the example and the definitions that we gave, are you really hungry and thirsty for righteousness, or are you just hungry and thirsty for things, for blessings, for things to somewhat satisfy you, to just quench you for now? Or do you want something that actually leads to fulfillment, to be filled, to be whole? Because here's the honest truth. If all you're looking for is blessings, then you're always going to ebb and flow. You're always going to have good days. You're always going to have bad days. It's always going to be an up and down roller coaster with you. And I get it. We all experience. I've been there before in my own life before. I mean, I was thinking just this morning, a conversation that I have with people all the time that I even had with a pastor one day in my 20s. I remember one day I walked into a pastor's office in my 20s. I was interning at the church and I just wasn't feeling it. You know? I walked in his office and I said, hey, I'm going to change my internship next year because I'm just not getting anything out of this church. I'm just not getting anything out of it. Not getting anything out of your preaching, not getting anything out of the worship. You know, some things have happened that I don't agree with, some things that I wouldn't have done, and so I'm out. And I look back, and if I could go on a time machine, I would slap my younger self. And I'd say, don't leave that church. That's a bad reason to leave that church. Because here's the thing. In that moment, all I was doing is I was hungry and I was thirsty for blessings. Looking for what suited me, looking for what I wanted, instead of being a servant of God who was hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Because here's the thing. If you walk into devotions and you walk into the Bible and go, oh, I didn't get anything out of that verse. I'm going to find another one. I didn't get anything. Here's the thing. That's not hungry and thirsty for righteousness. You're looking for something. If you don't get anything out of that worship song, that's not the worship song's problem. That's your problem. That's not the Bible's problem. It's your problem. If you didn't get anything out of my sermon today, that's fine. That's great. It happens sometimes. More often than not. But the thing is, that's not my problem. If you're hungry and thirsty for God, find God. You'll find God. If you're hungry and thirsty for tricks, well, some days I'm good, some days I'm bad. Okay? You got to be hungry and thirsty for the right things. If you didn't get anything out of something, that's your problem. You got to be hungry and thirsty for God. And when you are hungry and thirsty for God, I guarantee you, you will find God. God will find you. God will meet you right where you're at, and he will fill you up. But that leads us to the second question. Second question is this: where are you eating to be filled? My daughter, she started school this week, kindergarten. Olivia loves snacks. Snacks, snacks, snacks. She eats more snacks than she eats meals, okay? So where we've been all week is she gets off of school. Dad, can I have a snack? No, I'm going to make dinner. You can have dinner. So we eat dinner. 5 minutes later, Dad, can I get up? Sure. Are you full? Yeah, I'm full. 10 minutes later, she comes up. Can I have a snack? I thought you ate dinner. Are you full? Well, I don't want a snack. Okay, when you say snack, what in the world are you talking about? Because I just threw your leftovers away. So you tell me what you mean by snack. What do you want to be filled up? Because she's like, my belly hurts. I'm hungry. It's empty. Fill me up. So I'm like, what do you want? She goes, well, we got some ice cream sandwiches. Yeah, we do. What else? Well, you got your workout gummy bears in there. Can I have some gummy bears? You know what I'm saying? That's crap. Why do you want that? No, you don't need that stuff. That's junk food. That's snacks. You don't need a snack. How many of us, though, are not truly feeding on the right stuff? We're on snacks. We're on junk food. We're looking for little things to fill us up just to get us through the week, just to tide our cravings. But it's not the right stuff we're supposed to be on. But let me tell you something. If you were really hungry and thirsty for righteousness and who God wants you to be, you know where you'd go to be filled? You'd go to the Word of God. And you'd look at that Word of God and you'd let it speak to you. You'd pray about it. And when you pray, you wouldn't just tell God the list of things that you need, but you would say, you know, my Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Let me just start out by saying how great and how awesome you are, how much I love you, how pure is your name, how thankful I am for you. God, will you just give me not what I want, but what I need more than anything? God, would you challenge me? Would you speak to me? You would be in that word. But how many of us, honestly, this is the only Bible you've read all week. And it's okay. I'm not judging you. But I'm just saying, how many of us came in here feeling empty yet? Have you been eating this week? Have you been on the scripture? Have you been looking at the word? No, I wanted you to read it to me today. Okay, well, they have apps for that, okay? This can read it to you later on this week in your car. But how many of us don't do that? How many of us, we walk into worship, and this is the only worship we have this week. You can worship God this week. You can worship God in many several ways. We've got to feed on the right things. This is why group is so important, guys. We're going to spend like an hour and 15 minutes together this morning, okay? This is 4% of your day. 4% of your day you've spent in worship with God. That's awesome. Huge, right? 4%. You know what? If this is all you do all week, it is less than a half of a percentage that you will spend with God this week. Less than a half of a percent you've invested in your time with God. If this is all you do, which I get it, but here's the thing. If we're really hungry and thirsty and we actually want to be filled, if we actually want to be satisfied, if we don't want to just live off of junk food for the rest of our lives and find out who God wants us to actually be, we've got to invest more than a half of a percent. And that's why we got groups, which is just another hour, another 4% of another day. Oh, great. We're up to 1% of the week. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we're serious about this, if we're really hungry, if we're really thirsty, then we'll do something about it. And that's up to you. I can't do it for you. And I can only do it a half a percent every week for you. But if we're truly hungry and thirsty for righteousness, if we really want to be filled, if we really want to fill whole in our life, if we really want to move through and heal through the bad experiences that have happened to us in the past, then we'll eat the right things. Then we'll be hungry for the right things, and we'll thirst and we'll be quenched by the right things. So this morning, kind of as we finish up here, I want to invite the band to come back up. We're going to sing one last song, like we always do. Reckless Love, a song you are so familiar with. But you know what? This is your time to come to God with your hunger. Come to God with your thirst. And say, God, I am in need of you. God, I am hungry in my life. I am thirsty in my life. And I have been living off of junk. I've been living off of snacks. And it never leaves me fully satisfied. It never finishes the job. It helps me for a moment. It gives me a great experience. But God, I need something more. God wants to give you that. God wants to create that in you. God wants to transform you from the inside out. And he wants to start with your heart. And so many of us, honestly, this morning, we need to repent. We need to ask for forgiveness. And we need to say, God, I'm sorry I have been that member of the crowd that has chased you just with, hey, could you give me another blessing? Could you answer another prayer? Could you give me another thing? Could you give me a new job? Could you help us to get married? Could you send a new boy, a new girl my way? Could you get me a new car? Could you help me to afford this? No. Those are little immature things. Great things, not what's going to fill us. Why don't we this morning ask God for what we really want? To be whole, to know our purpose, to be the people he created us to be. God, will you make me into that this morning? This is your opportunity. So you know what? The altars are over there. You worship how you want to worship. Everybody worships differently. There's not a right way to worship. But me, when I throw my hands in the air, when I get down on my knees, it's not because I like it. It's because I'm desperate. And if I was desperate, I would be on my knees pleading for God to be with me. I throw my hands up because I'm surrendering to him. That's my way of doing it, of unclenching and just releasing. Communion's available over here. Maybe this morning what you need is to take that bread and to take that juice and then this morning just have this moment of remembering that, you know what? If I'm not getting anything out of it, I can't make Jesus any more exciting. He died for you. He bled for you. His body was broken for you. If that's not enough to get you excited and hungry for God, I don't know what will, because somebody who didn't deserve it gave their life for you. And that bread and that juice is in remembrance of that. Maybe this morning you need a wake-up call and you need to go remind yourself that somebody died for your salvation so that you can have eternal life in heaven. Maybe that'll get you hungry. Maybe that'll get you thirsty. Maybe that'll turn you on enough to want to follow God. It's up to you, though. It's your life. It's your life to live, and God wants to live it with you. So this morning, all that I ask is that you be open to him. You do it how you need to do it. It'll look different from every single one of us. But in your heart, open up. In your heart, be hungry. In your heart, be thirsty for him. And he will fill you. Let's pray. God, this morning, as we continue to worship you, as we remember this morning your reckless love, God, we just surrender ourselves to you. God, this morning, we are hungry for you. We are thirsty for you. We are searching for you. God, forgive me of the times where I have been immature and I have been looking for answers to prayer. I've been wanting just stuff, things that passed on, things that went away, things that changed, things that didn't really even matter. God, I was the kid once who came to you just looking for bread. But God, this morning, I am looking for the bread of life. God, this morning, I want to be filled with your presence. God, this morning, I want to be satisfied by you. God, this morning, I want to know my purpose and I want to know the plans you have for me. I want to know who it is you want me to be in the future. And God, I am making myself available for that. I am opening myself up to that. God, I don't want to live off of junk food anymore. Will you give me what truly matters? Will you make me desperate for you? Because God, in my own brokenness, I need your help. In my own brokenness, I need your grace. In my own brokenness, I need you to rebuild me up. Will you do that in my life today, God? Will you make me into the husband you want me to be? Will you make me into the father you want me to be? Will you make me into the pastor, into the friend that you want me to be? God, would you do that inside of me so that at the end of my life, I can say I gave my best. I did everything. I searched and I scoured and I was desperate for you and I didn't attain it. I wasn't ever perfect. I made mistakes, but I was always on the hunt for you, God. I was always on the hunt for you. God, I know that's what you care about. That's what you want most of all. Not perfection, not a perfect score, just a desire for a relationship. God, will you put that in our hearts right now at this very moment? Will you make us desperate for you? In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We'd love it if you'd help us out by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Also, join us at our physical location in Troy, Missouri at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.